Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Bike Wale podcast. I'm your host Anuj and this is a show dedicated to two-wheelers where we are going to talk about all things motorcycles and scooters. Before we begin our show, I want to address the hardship that all of us are going through because of the COVID-19 pandemic, especially now when the second wave is even stronger. A huge number of people in India are battling the virus in hospitals and we wish they stay strong and come out of this healthy. At the same time, there are also people, or I must say riders, who have been staying in the confines of their homes, waiting for this to get over and go out to get the sense of freedom once again on their motorcycles. Right now, we can't do that, but we can do the second best thing, that is talking about two-wheelers. And to do that, I have with me my colleague Suvil. Hello, Suvil.
Hi, Anuj. Thank you for having me on this show.
So Suvil has also been riding and writing about two-wheelers for years now. And I hope this conversation is going to be an interesting one. Firstly, we will be shedding some light on the top two two-wheeler news stories of the week. And then we will talk about one interesting topic. At the end, we'll also give you a motorcycling tip, which we believe will help you in becoming a better rider. So Suvil, shall we start now?
Sure, definitely.
Yeah. So to begin with, the first news story that grabbed a lot of attention last week was about the Bajaj Pulsar 250F. So actually, there was a naked street version of this same bike spotted sometime ago. And now we have seen the 250F, which we believe will be called the 250F because of the nomenclature that Bajaj will be following due to the current existing 220F. And basically, this is an all-new product. Based on an all-new platform, a new 250cc engine. So it's going to be a very important product, I guess. And Suvil, what do you think? How important is this product going to be for Bajaj?
This is going to be very important because, as most of our readers and followers would know, that Bajaj had originally introduced the biggest Pulsar as the Pulsar 400 at the Auto Expo. Then it came out as the Domina. Correct. So the biggest Pulsar model that was out there, that is still out there, is the Pulsar 220F, and that has been around for quite some time now. This will be the biggest Pulsar model out there now, once it comes out. And it is going to be very important. We saw the first glimpse of the motorcycle thanks to our reader, Rohan Gaikwad, who shared the exclusive photographs with us.
Thank you.
And we could see the rear of the motorcycle. The front wasn't visible in the photographs, and we are sure we will get some new photographs as the company continues to test this motorcycle. And from the very first look of it, I can see that it's very muscular. You know, it looks very good in size. The fairing adds meat to the overall design. The tail section with its split style grab rails, it looks nice and chunky. It looks spacious. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be liked by a lot of people who probably want to move beyond the 220F, probably have something more premium, you know.
Correct.
So this is going to be quite an important motorcycle.
Right. Yeah. And as you said, muscular. So Pulsar, the Pulsar brand has always been associated with that, you know, that macho styling, that muscular fuel tank. If you remember, the first gen Pulsar had become popular because of that huge fuel tank. You know, 18 liters fuel tank was a big deal, man, at that time.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Male was the tagline.
Correct. So that's the theme they're going to be following, I guess, because it's very interesting that even though in the first spy shots of the naked model, we could see the front end but it was so properly camouflaged that we couldn't make out how the front end will look. So it's still under wraps. So there is a lot that needs to be uncovered yet. Talking about the timeline.
But before we go to the timeline and the expected arrival, I just wanted to say one thing, that if you look at the photographs, the ergonomics are very upright and, you know, they're very comfortable. And if you add a semi-fairing design to that, and this motorcycle is going to be a very good highway tourer kind of a thing, you know, because upright ergonomics, there's decent amount of wind protection that I can see.
That's true. Yeah.
It's going to appeal to people who want to have a motorcycle that's not very powerful, maybe something that's approachable, not very intimidating, easy to ride kind of a motorcycle, and something that would not burn a hole in their bank account.
Correct.
I think this should appeal to that kind of a buyer.
And though it has clip-on handlebars for that sporty feel, it still set pretty high. We can see the rider being sitting upright, you know. So, and exactly. most of the brands are actually taking that approach, you know. Even KTM is moving from that aggressive RC lineup, and it is transforming into a more of a, you know, a more practical, versatile, more comfortable machine. So brands have realized that only going full with the full committed ergonomic sporty, it's not going to work. People want some more. Yeah,
exactly. Because these motorcycles spend maybe like 90% of their life on regular riding conditions, right? Hardly Correct. Most of, like, you know, hardly any rider goes to a racetrack to Chennai or to BIC.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think this is a very practical approach that most brands are following. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, even in future, whatever models that are going to come out, they're going to have these relaxed ergonomics despite having clip-on style handlebars.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's the way to go ahead, actually, for brands.
Yeah, at least I'm talking about the entry-level, you know, quarter-liter performance motorcycles, sub-500cc motorcycles.
Correct, correct. So, and this, till now, we have only seen two versions of this 250 platform, the naked and a fed. Maybe there will be more products based on this 250cc, you know, the platform. What do you think? So will there be more products?
We can always keep our fingers crossed, because the KTM Duke series gave, like, you know, was a kind of a platform for the Pulsar NS series, right?
Correct, correct.
Now there is the RC and the Adventure, both of them here in India, both manufactured in India, and Bajaj manufactures both those motorcycles. So it would be interesting to see if Bajaj uses that platform, the Adventure platform or the RC platform, to make its own fully fed motorcycles. The RS200 was, you know, kind of an RC on budget from Bajaj.
Yeah, right.
So it will be really interesting to see if Bajaj uses the KTM 250 Adventure platform for its 250cc motorcycles.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so going back to the launch timeline of the bike, officially or even we haven't gotten any information from our sources, but still, at the earliest, it should come by the end of this year. Pricing would be, it might be north of, you know, how much the Pulsar NS200 has been priced. Somewhere around the same ballpark. And there will be a difference between the naked version and the fair version. The fair version will obviously be slightly more expensive. And yeah, that's about it, about the Pulsar 250. And now moving on to our next news, and we will jump on to a very big displacement now. It's about the Ducati Street Fighter V4 that has been launched in India last week. And this is actually very close to the Panigale V4, but it just doesn't have the fairing. I mean, a bike that weighs under 200 kgs and it churns out 205 bhp, that is nothing short of insanity, man. What do you think, Suvin?
It's the Street Fighter V4 is your everyday superbike. You know, it's powerful. It's got the design. It's got that, you know, very desirable look to it. Correct. And still it's very practical because of its upright ergonomics. You know, it's sporty. It's slightly sporty, but it's not as aggressive as the Panigale V4. The Panigale V4 is like proper track focused tool. But this is something that you can enjoy every day. You can take it to work, or you can just go out for weekend rides on this, and you will really have a lot of fun on this. Now, do notice this thing, that despite the fact that it doesn't have a fairing,
yeah,
it still gets those aerodynamic winglets that are claimed to generate 28 kilos of downforce at 270 kilometers per hour. And wow, that is a big deal, because that really affects the way the motorcycle handles at straight line. It behaves during hard braking. So, correct. You know, this is a very, very nice package. I think it's very well thought of. It's very desirable. It's got crazy amount of power. As you said, it's very lightweight, makes 205 bhp. And that is on the standard model, by the way. Ducati will also offer an Akrapovic exhaust system that will push right. the power output even further. I think it's somewhere around 217 bhp, if I'm not wrong, with the Akrapovic exhaust system.
Wow, yeah, right.
That's 12 more bhp. And the system, by the way, the Akrapovic exhaust, it also reduces 6 kilograms from the curb weight. So you're getting more power, lighter weight, better power to weight ratio.
Correct, correct. And this is, I guess, one of the most powerful naked street bikes available on the planet, if I'm not wrong. Because
I would say in India, for sure.
Yeah.
Planet, I I think there was something from MV Agusta that made.
Oh yeah, the Brutale 1000. How can you forget that?
I think it was the Brutale 1000.
Dragster or Brutale?
I think it was a Brutale 1000. I don't recall the name of it, but it did made a lot of power. That motorcycle made a lot of power. I still have to go back and probably Correct. Google it, because the number of articles that are right every day, it's very difficult to keep a track of all the technical specifications. Yeah. But yes, there is another powerful motorcycle out there.
Yeah. But I don't think that's going to come to India anytime soon. So this is the best MV Agusta, Indians have got. Yeah.
Exactly. MV Agusta does have some plans. Their CEO did made some comments, I think a couple of years ago, but we are still to see any development on that front.
Correct. But there has been a lot of development happening in MV Agusta. There's going to be a 950cc adventure motorcycle. I think you had written about it.
Yes, there is going to be a 950cc. It's going to use an inline 3-cylinder setup. Correct. And I'm pretty sure it will draw some styling cues, if not all, some styling cues from the
Turismo the Veloce.
Super Veloce, Turismo Veloce.
Yeah, correct.
Some aspect from it.
Right.
So, but I think there's still some time away. And yeah. I think
but when we'll, one thing I've got to say, man, I mean, may it be Ducati or MV Agusta, Italians do know how to design motorcycles.
Definitely. Motorcycles, cars, yeah, both of them.
Correct. I mean, look at this Street Fighter, man. I mean, it's always ready to pounce on its prey. It looks like that.
Yes, the Street Fighter, even the old Street Fighter, the middleweight Street Fighter that Ducati had, I think the 848, that was also quite a very appealing motorcycle, very aggressive looking, sharp and very, very desirable.
Correct.
This one just takes the game to a whole new level.
That's true. And talking about the pricing of this bike, there are two variants on offer. The standard model has been priced at ₹19.99 lakh ex-showroom, while the S model, which is a higher spec variant, it goes up to ₹22.99 lakh. So people who are interested, they can keep their checks ready. And if you want to know more about the bike, may it be the Pulsar 250 or the Street Fighter V4, you can just go to bikewale.com. We have written a lot about both the bikes. Now,
and before we move to the next topic, by the way, there is another variant, the Dark Stealth, which retails for 23.19 lakh. And Ducati has already delivered 2 units of the Dark Stealth V4S in India.
Oh, wow. The top spec variant.
Yes, the top spec variant, Dark Stealth, which is basically just the color difference between the two motorcycles. That's the only difference. One comes in Ducati Red, which is for 22.99 lakh. Mm-hmm. And there is a Dark Stealth that retails for 23.19 lakh. It's just the color difference. Apart from that, everything else is identical on both the motorcycles, the S variants. But because of that dark, stealthy look, it carries a marginal premium over the Ducati Red model. And Ducati India has already delivered 2 motorcycles in India.
Wow, man. At least 2 people are going to have so much fun even during this pandemic. Yeah,
I'm not sure about that, if they can actually exploit the full potential of the motorcycle yet.
Correct. And they shouldn't be going out actually. No.
Exactly. No one should be going out unless it's very important or very, it's kind of a big emergency.
Correct. That's true. So now moving on to our next topic. The topic of the day is how to maintain your two-wheeler during this pandemic. So as we know, most of the riders have their two-wheelers parked in their garage, in their shed, in their parking, but it has been immobile. It must be immobile for a lot of us for a long time. And that's when the problems start arising, when your tires start getting flat spots, your batteries start draining, or they start going dead, your petrol, the fuel in your fuel tank starts getting useless. So these are the things which people usually face. But we will give you some quick tips which will help you maintain your bike, and it will keep it operational for even after you take it out after the pandemic. So Will, what would be your first tip, the most important one from you?
The most important tip right now is to protect yourself. If you are stepping out, going to your parking, going to your garage, wherever your motorcycle is parked, make sure that your face is completely covered. Your nose, your mouth, and your eyes are properly covered. You can wear like a transparent pair of goggles on your eyes. You should wear a mask whenever you head out. So make sure that you are protecting yourself. After that, it comes down to the obvious culprits. The biggest one is the battery, because the battery keeps losing charge as it stays there dormant. I have gone through this, and most modern day motorcycles that that come in the premium category don't come with a kickstarter, right? So it's very difficult to start the motorcycle once the battery is drained. So the very first thing that you should do is unplug the battery, remove both the points from the battery. There is a particular way to do it. First, take out the negative part of the battery, and then take off the positive part, and keep the wires fairly away from the charging points. Fairly away from the mounting points on the battery.
Yeah.
What this will do is essentially it will stop your battery from draining at a fast pace, because you know, because the clock on board of your instrument cluster that keeps taking some amount of charge. So you want to avoid anything that would take charge away from the battery. And even if you don't go out and start the motorcycle, let's say for a couple of months, your battery will still be there. And the moment you know that you can take your bike out, just connect the battery, hit the starter, and it will work perfectly fine. I have gone through this. That's why I've experienced this firsthand.
Okay. This had happened with your Duke 200, if I'm not
wrong.
It
had happened with my KTM Duke 200. So
and Sunil, also, there's another problem which I had faced during this lockdown. Ever since it started, since last year, March, I didn't keep my bike, parked for a long time. It was, at max, it was parked for around a month. But after that, when I took it out, so there was a period when people were going out and we were doing all sort of things which we do normally, right? In normal times.
Right.
So I had gone to Lonavala, and around these corners, I could feel whenever I was leaning in left on the left side, my rear tire was losing the grip. I felt that it was spinning and it was about to, you know, just lose it. So I think that's because there has been a flat spot on my tire. Since it was parked for a long time.
That can be a major reason. Now see, the flat spot, it comes in two types, right? If your motorcycle has been parked, let's say for a week or probably 2 weeks, two weeks or 3 weeks, it probably would develop a temporary flat spot. And it would just, you know, go away after a few kilometers. But if your motorcycle is there, it's standing for a very long time, right?
Correct.
Let's say a couple of months or 3 months or something. Then that semi-permanent kind of a flat spot thing happens with the tire, and it takes a lot of time to go away. Sometimes it might not even go away, and you will have to replace the tire on your motorcycle. So in this case, as I'm sure most of the motorcycles nowadays don't come with a center stand, right? My KTM Duke 200 does not. I think none of the KTMs come with a center stand.
That's true. Even I have
very few motorcycles. Yeah, and there are very few motorcycles that actually come with a center stand. So in this situation, if you have a Parac stand, nothing like it. It would just be perfect for parking your motorcycle for long durations. But if you don't have a Parac stand, what you can do is you can probably slide a couple of cardboards, thick cardboards under the tire so that it's not in direct touch with concrete, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So that will save your tire to a certain extent. And whenever possible, probably once a week or once in 2 weeks, just go downstairs, move your motorcycle a bit so that, you know, not just so that, you know, a different spot of the tire is probably under it's pressure.
In contact with
the ground or whatever you have placed it on.
Correct.
So you can do that. But most of the people, they would be tempted to go downstairs, just crank their motorcycle up for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then turn it off. Don't do that, because that really wouldn't charge your battery in one spot, right? And it would probably end up draining your battery even further.
Mm.
If it's possible that you can ride the motorcycle in a safe locality, right, probably just under your building for, let's say, a couple of 100 meters, there's nothing like it. But if you can't ride your motorcycle, if you can't do anything with it, I would suggest to disconnect the battery and just keep it moving once in a while.
Right. Yeah. I mean, riding it for a few meters would be the best thing to do, actually. As you said,
it would be. A couple of 100 meters would be decent.
Right. So it will solve two things. It will prevent your tire from getting a flat spot, as well as the battery will last longer.
It will charge your battery to a certain extent. Yes, it will.
Correct. And also the last thing, cover your vehicle, keep it under
shade. Definitely, because If you are going to be leaving it in one spot for a very long time, it is going to accumulate dust and probably even some water if it's not parked in a shed. So make sure that you cover up the motorcycle with just one cover. You know, you don't have to like tie it from all the ends and like wrap it properly. You don't have to do that. Just have a simple motorcycle cover, put it on your motorcycle and you're good. There's one more thing that you mentioned, and that's about the fuel going bad.
Ah, correct.
Now, if your motorcycle is going to stand there just for a month, it won't affect the fuel that much. But if it's possible for you, if you can source it from somewhere, I would recommend getting a fuel stabilizer and just put some amount of it into the fuel tank. Make sure that if you're going to park the motorcycle for a very long time, you fill it to the brim so that, you know, the fuel stabilizer will keep the fuel stable. And because the fuel tank is filled to the brim, there's very little possibility of a fuel pump or any part of the fuel tank getting rusted during this long duration of parking.
Correct. Yeah. So apart from this, there happens a problem with the bike's fuel when there it is parked under rain for a long time and water seeps into the fuel tank. That has happened with me. So one of the solutions which especially Mumbai people have found out is have a, you know, small plastic cover on top of the fuel tank lid, which stops, prevents the water from seeping in. And
it should not happen ideally because of the way fuel lids have been designed, there's like a proper ceiling inside of it. So there might be a possibility that there will be some water accumulated on the sides, on the walls of the filler.
Correct.
But on a very rare occasion that it would happen that the water would go inside of the fuel tank. If it's going inside of the fuel tank, you should really get your lid tested if the seal is properly working or not.
And this problem I had faced with my very old bike, that was the Hero Hunk. So it was quite old. I mean, even such kind of problem wasn't surprising actually. But modern bikes are built in such a way that these problems are, there are no chances that this will happen. Correct.
Exactly. And if you use a good quality cover, I'm not asking you to go and buy a 4,000 or 5,000 rupee cover, not anything of that sort. You just need to buy a decent cover for your motorcycle. And I think it should protect your motorcycle fairly well against water and dust and everything.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So I hope all of our listeners found it helpful and they will be using these tips until the lockdown is there, and it will be helpful for them. It will keep their bikes operational. It will prevent the faults which are meant to come when the bike is not being ridden. We will be ending that topic here and moving on to our next thing, which won't take long time, is the tip of the day. We just want to request you to wear all the gears all the time. I know this sounds a bit too much. I mean, it might not be possible for everyone, but we people tend to take safety for granted a lot. And wearing a jacket to just get groceries might sound a bit useless. I mean, you would be like, the chances are very slim that you'll have a fall, you'll have an accident, a crash just while getting a grocery. But there are chances. Wear your gears all the time. At least helmet and gloves are mandatory. But me, Suvil, our whole team wears gears even if we are going 2 kilometers away from our home. So, Suvil, do you agree with this?
I totally agree with this, because a fall, no matter if it happens on a 200-kilometer ride or a 2-kilometer short sprint, is going to hurt, is going to bruise your skin or, you know, God forbid, even break your bone. So riding gear does save you from a lot of such injuries. And I would recommend to use as much, I would recommend using riding gear as much as possible.
Yeah. So wear all your gears all the time. That's what we want to say. And thank you, Suvil. Thank you so much for enlightening us with your knowledge. And we are going to end this episode here. I hope even you had a good time.
I did have a great time. It's always fun talking about motorcycles. I'm always up for a chat if it's about any kind of a two-wheeler, motorcycle, scooter, even electric scooters or electric motorcycles.
Yeah. So maybe that could be our topic for the next episode. The future of mobility. Yeah.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening to us. We will be back next week with an all new content for you people. Meanwhile, do write into us at podcast@bikewire.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we have also have a lot of interesting video content on YouTube. And do not forget to go check it out. Like, share the videos and subscribe to our channel. See you next week.